Hello and welcome to Women in AI Breaking the Mold. I'm your host, Marissa Garenhill, and today we have a very special episode recorded live at our AI Accelerator Summit San Jose. In this episode, we go over the potential role of AI for enabling plant-inspired robotics in real-world applications, and we'll hear from several experts. Enjoy!
So as far as I've seen in the past 2 days, there's a lot of talk about AI, big data, and that's great, but it's even more exciting if we can mix it up with robotics. And that's what we primarily represent over here. We are people, scientists, who are primarily working in a novel approach to designing robots, which are known as bio-inspired robotics. So for those of you who don't know, bio-inspired robotics refers to systems that take inspiration from nature in design principles, in control principles, and then you want to basically deploy these systems in natural environments. So we basically create an environment where robots are ubiquitous with us. So we can use them for assistive purposes, we can use them for anything that you can possibly imagine that doesn't exist in this day. So one of the things that has happened in bio-inspired robotics is that we are now taking inspiration from the most unusual organisms that, I mean, one could imagine, which is plants. Plants represent systems that we think are sessile and they don't interact with the environment or they don't do anything for the environment, but rather they actually interact much better, which is why they are able to colonize more portion of the earth than in fact humans can. So here we have scientists who are working in a European funded project, which is known as GrowBot, where we are trying to develop a novel growing bio-inspired robot. And so our panelists over here, I'd like to very quickly introduce them. First of all, we have Yasmin Meroz from Tel Aviv University, who has done her PhD in chemical physics from Tel Aviv University and went on to do a postdoc in condensed matter physics at the Weizmann Institute in Israel. And then she continued a postdoc at Harvard University in applied mathematics, focusing on memory phenomena of biological systems. Right now, she's a senior lecturer at Tel Aviv University. Following her, we have Emanuela Del Tattore, who is a PhD from Scuola Superiore Sant'Anna, which is also where I am from. And she did her PhD in biorobotics. She's currently working on a lot of projects, which are European funded, which include GrowBot and also ERC projects. Her research interests include plant-inspired robotics and also the development and implementation of control and decision-making strategies for bio-inspired robotics. Following her, we have Isabella Fiorello, who is a postdoctoral researcher at IIT. She received her PhD in biorobotics from Scuola Superiore Sant'Anna again. A lot of people from there. She recently also spent a period at Germany in the University of Freiburg. She's also received several awards at national and international level, which include the ENI Award for Young Researcher of the Year. And currently, she's working on microfabricated adhesives with climbing plant-inspired microhooks for reversible anchoring to textile skin and plant leaf tissues. After her, we have Maria Balk, who received her diploma degree in chemistry from Germany and her PhD in material life sciences at the University of Potsdam, if I've pronounced that correctly. She's currently working as a postdoctoral researcher at the Institute of Active Polymers in Helmholtz, Germany, and she's focusing on the design of shape memory hydrogels, which are sensitive to a variety of stimuli and actuator materials. Second last, we have Rania, who is currently a postdoctoral researcher at the Gran Sasso Science Institute in Italy. And her research deals with the development of three-dimensional model describing the intertwining of growing shoots. And finally, we have Lucia Nasti, who is also our postdoctoral researcher from the same Gran Sasso Institute. She received her PhD in computer science from the University of Pisa in 2020, where she worked between research fields of bioinformatics, system biology, and formal methods. Her scientific interests revolve around deep understanding of complex systems to computational approach. So I welcome all of the panelists to this talk. And I would like to get started with the conversation. What I want the audience to understand today is why we are looking to plants. So if one of you can take over and try to motivate our audience over here, why plants are interesting to develop robotics. Let's start with that question. And maybe Yasmin Meroz, you can start from that.
Okay. So I guess I'm the closest thing to a biologist in this set of people. So I'm originally not a biologist, but today I study basically my lab studies how plants interact with the environment. And specifically, if I look at a plant from an engineering point of view, that we have a plant that's equipped with sensors, with no central nervous system or a brain, and yet somehow it manages to get information from its sensory system, process it somehow in a distributed manner, right? Because again, there is no brain. And then there's an output, right? There's some kind of strategic plan regarding how to grow. What is the optimal way to grow? So there are a lot of interesting questions here. And I'm mostly interested in understanding this black box of computation. How does computation occur in a distributed system? So basically, we do a lot of experiments where we have a controlled stimulus, and then we follow the growth pattern of different plants. And from this, we try to reverse engineer these kind of computational principles. So it's experiments coupled with a lot of mathematical models describing this. And I think that one of the big things about, maybe two things about plants, which I find great. One of them is kind of related to what Yasmin mentioned before. They're 80% of the biomass. That's saying something. And also, if you think about the oldest living tree, which is actually in California, I think it's this old pine. It's almost 5,000 years old. That's insane. If you think about the number of civilizations that passed by in this time, and you know, you have storms and fires and whatnot, and this tree is still there, it means that it's doing something right. Okay, we have something to learn about its strategies. So that's one thing that I find really interesting about plants, and that we're just beginning to scratch the surface. And the other is what I mentioned before, the fact that it's a distributed system and still doing interesting, complex computations. And distributed computing, you guys probably know better than us, is something that is of great interest. And maybe we can learn something from how nature does it.
That's very interesting. And what I would then pass the question on to the rest of the panelists, maybe Isabella or Maria, you could take on, is that, okay, so plants have these very interesting features. What have you guys taken from biology and actually have implemented it in an engineering solution? Actually developing something that is plant related.
So maybe I can start.
Okay, yes.
Okay, so I mean, I'm a material chemist and working on the design of polymer-based system. I'm concentrating on how we can implement active movements into polymer materials. So for example, I'm working on so-called shape memory materials. These can act sensitive to their environment. For example, they can feel changes in temperature, they can feel changes in humidity, they can feel changes in enzyme concentration. So similar what plants can do. And we were able to, for example, develop artificial plant leaves, which can close their shape when the temperatures decrease, and which are opening their shape when the temperatures increase. So this is a thermonestic behavior, which is similar to rhododendron leaves, which we can artificially create.
Interesting. And maybe we can have some other examples of what has been implemented within the project also.
Yes, maybe I can continue, Yasmin.
Sure.
So nice to meet you. I'm Isabella. Actually, I work in the BioInspired Soft Robotics Lab, as introduced from Yasmin. And during my PhD, I worked a lot on climbing plants at a micro scale level. Actually, I developed new material which are inspired from climbing plants for reversible anchoring to several structured surfaces.
For example, I took inspirations, especially from the biomechanics and the morphology of selected climbing plant species. Maybe I can give you some few examples. I took inspiration from this plant that maybe you know, it's called Gallium aparine. And this plant actually can anchor its body to several surfaces in nature, for example, to the host vegetation. And what I did during my research was to take inspiration from the microstructure that are present on the leaf of this plant, and I mimic the morphology and the biomechanics of these microstructures. Then I design and I fabricate this structure at a microscale level using high-resolution micromanufacturing technique. And actually, these devices you can use in different fields. For example, we apply it in climbing robots applications, but also, for example, for adhesive that you can attach to the leaf, for on-leaf sensing, and also on-leaf drug delivery. So there are many features from which we take inspiration. Actually, I mainly took inspiration from the anchoring, but also from the morphology and biomechanics.
So systems that are actually attaching to actual biological organisms. So we are actually, in a way, moving towards a new novel interaction between robots and humans. Another thing that was very interesting was maybe, Emanuela, you could mention that one of the first growing robots, the growing part of the system, is being developed by you. And what exactly is the mechanism that you're working on? And where are the computational principles that you're using? And how are you developing control algorithms for these robots?
Hi, Yasmin. Hi, everybody. Well, plants can offer, in fact, as you have seen from these initial comments, offer many different ideas, either in the materials, because they will respond mainly to many different types of stimuli from their tissues, and from an internal, also physiological computation that they perform on the same signals to improve their performance in terms of growth direction. And we, in fact, took inspiration from this basic but fundamental principle in plants that they move and they explore their environment through the growth. And this is a very different concept of movement with respect to animals that locomote, they shift all their bodies from two points in space, while they are adding new materials at their extremities. So they have the apexes on the roots or on the aerial part where there is this cell divisions and elongation. So it is only this terminal part that move forward in the environment. And we took inspiration from this basic but effective principle to develop a growing system, recalling to the principle of the additive manufacturing processes. So we basically miniaturize an FDM 3D printer in a 4 or 5 centimeter scale of diameter. And what the system does is to take, in our case, a thermoplastic material, as in the commercially available 3D printer, and fuse it at the tip and circularly deposit this filament in order to increase the body layer by layer. And we can shape, actually, the body is not predefined. We are basically building in real time the body of the system following a biospire approach. So the system embed a control that is inspired by what are called tropism in plants, which is the main mechanism for them to navigate the environment. So they grow towards light, if we think to the shoots that they are attracted by light, or they escape from negative signals like obstacles or, I don't know, metals or other stuff that can kill them somehow.
That's very interesting, and she's raised a very interesting and important point, which is embodied intelligence, which is something that has been overlooked so far. We consider artificial intelligence, as we've discussed a lot in this conference, which is mostly the algorithmic part. But in fact, what we are trying to motivate you is that the body itself plays a big role in developing artificial intelligence, especially when we're talking about these artificial systems, robotics. We can no longer consider robotic systems independent of algorithms. They have to work hand in hand. And over here, maybe Lucia or Rania can highlight that they are working on one of this aspect, which is modeling and trying to understand these complex interactions that something as simple as plants are able to do with very simple bodies, such as intertwining and these computational capabilities. And maybe you can highlight a bit on it.
Yes, hello all, I'm Rania. What I've been occupied in the robot project has been finding a mathematical model for intertwining. This is a strategy that plants have evolved in order to bridge gaps among structures or climb on other structures or attach to other plants. So essentially what they do is they twine different stems together. And this has been shown to improve their mechanical and structural properties. And the point is that we would like to have a mathematical model that we can understand deeply and then to translate this model into something that is amenable for robotics use. I think from what we see up to now is that indeed when we measure quantities like bending stiffness, which is the main quantity that we measure for the stiffness of the material, and we compare one shoot growing by itself or one or two shoots growing together, we see a very large difference. So this is something, an example of how we can incorporate these mathematical models and the knowledge into AI bio-inspired robots.
If I can add something, is I think that it's important to state that AI is playing a very key role in developing of predictive models, above all in biological system. But the problem that maybe can be a limitation is that in many cases we don't have all the data, so we have to deal with the incomplete or missing data, and so we cannot rely on this kind of approach alone. So maybe what we can do is, for example, to combine mechanistic models, so mathematical models, when of course they are available, with the potentiality of machine learning or reinforcement learning. For example, at the moment I'm working on the application of reinforcement learning to understand the plant adaptation strategy, because as you probably already know, when we have to work with reinforcement learning, we need very few data, so we can also generate our data in the training step, because in that case we generate data through the interaction between the agent, that is the model in our case, and the environment. Mm-hmm. So maybe this is a great opportunity also for other application.
Interesting. So before moving on to our final section, I would request all of you to, when we are talking about this completely new concept in people who are dealing with algorithms, what would you, in maybe one line, want people to take away from plant-inspired robotics, the role of AI in plant-inspired robotics, and generally the future of plant-inspired robotics? So we can go one by one. Just what would you want people to take away from whatever your experiences are?
For me, for example, one of the most important things is the control strategies, because, for example, with reinforcement learning, we have a policy that observes the environment, and then we have to perform many actions and to understand a complete task in an optimal manner. And so this is what the plants do in nature. So maybe this is the key point of have these two approaches together.
Interesting. How about what do you think, Maria? What would you want people to take away from your experiences?
For me, I would say that important would be to know that the plants has show a diversity of different structures which are able to respond to the environment. They can respond to a diversity of different signals, and this is that they are much more complex than what we were thinking before starting this project. And this, I think, is the key point which I would commend to take home.
All right. And Isabella, would you like to add on from your experience?
Yes, sure. Actually, for me, one very important feature is the capability of plants to adapt to several structured environments. And I think we must take inspiration especially from the materials properties of plants. Actually, we can mimic the morphology and biomechanics of these materials to create new materials for robotics. Actually, I can see a connection between plant-inspired robotics and artificial intelligence, especially if we think about, for example, application for precision agriculture or also smart forestry, for example. Actually, during my research, we developed these smart materials that are inspired by plants, but that can be applied to plants. And maybe in the future, these materials can work together with a sort of artificial intelligence that can create a network, actually, to, for example, understand when give water to the plants or when give pesticides to the plants. For example, we can envision these kind of devices in a vineyard or actually in a forest, so on. So actually, I envision this plant-inspired miniaturized device that can operate in natural ecosystem.
Interesting. The future, we're really talking about futuristic things over here. Rania, would you like to add on what you would want the people to take away from your experience?
Yeah, I would agree with Isabella. I see along this direction. I mean, we can use all this knowledge to actually create new materials. And we can use them for these robots for environmental monitoring, it's dangerous to, you need something that will be survive in a hazardous environment. We have already seen all these new robots that are for soft manipulators. So I think that there are many options that we can apply all this knowledge. And we just need to have a lot of fantasy.
All right. Emanuela, would you like to add on?
Yes, more or less in the same line. So the plants are an excellent model of embodied intelligence, as we mentioned also before. So the distributed system, excellent example of distributed system with computation all over distributed along their body. So we can achieve very high complexity that is displayed in plants in their bodies, in their phenotypic expression, but is reached perhaps with maybe simple rules that are implemented locally. So still, perhaps are not very new concept, but this model can renew actually the paradigm of modularity, of distributed intelligence, and embodiment.
No, I think in a world where people are talking about big data, distributed approaches to control is completely, it's out there. It's not something that's very common here, and which is why we're trying to motivate the people for this kind of a control architecture. Yasmin, how about you? From a lot of experience, what are the key takeaways that you would want the audience to take?
Maybe I'd focus on one thing, which is just to keep in mind how fundamentally different plants are from animal systems or classic robotic systems for that sense. We all know those very cool movies from Boston Dynamics, right? When you have a robot and like the push Atlas or Spot or whatever over, and it manages to somehow stay put, right? So how does posture control work in a very hand-wavy explanation? I know what my body consists of, and if my sensor feels forces which they're not supposed to feel, we can interpret this as an external force, and then we push back, right? That's how we stand when someone pushes us as well as human beings. But what happens with a plant or a growing robot? We don't know what our body is. The morphology changes continuously. And this means that the whole fundamental concept that we know about in, for example, posture control, I'm just choosing the simplest kind of task, something which is very well understood and very easy in classic robotics. Basically, we can't use existing control system. We have to chuck everything out of the window and start from scratch. And since it's hard to find solutions for these things, we need to learn through plants. How do plants find solutions for this? So if posture control is already difficult, okay, so next time you see a tree and you see that it's straight, you can marvel at that, okay? But this means that also everything else is complicated and very conceptually very different. Because also, I'll just say one more thing, that as opposed to animals, where movement and behavior are two separate things, development and behavior or movement are two separate things. In plants, we cannot take these two things apart. They're always together, right? You develop, and that through development, which is growth, that's your way of manifesting your behavior or moving. And this means that everything is different from all the computational processes need to be different. It's just it's a goldmine of open questions. And that's what makes it fun, I think, for everyone here involved.
So we are talking about plant-inspired designs, mechanical stability. We're talking about new artificial intelligence, not only algorithms, but embodied intelligence.
I hope you enjoyed this special episode, and we'll see you next time. Bye!